So, speaking of little girls, have you heard this, Sarah Barnhart, this recording of these children singing over there, but it's a trumpeteer song to Donald Trump?
I believe I saw a little bit of video footage from this.
All right, then.
Yeah.
You must know the song Over There by George M. Cohan, Sergeant Parekh. You don't know the actual song Over There?
I don't.
A movie. So
it's in a movie, but it was written during World War I, obviously, as partly a Broadway song, but George M. Cohan was not able to serve in the military and wrote this song to sort of be this, you know, he went over and he performed for the troops and had it as a, you know, rallying the troops, a boisterous, fun, great patriotic song. And the Yanks are coming. But this song, as sung by these little girls, Trump is coming. And I don't doubt it for a moment. I have said from the very beginning of this candidacy, Sarah, that that he would not only go the distance, but he would be the GOP candidate. So there you go. Do we have any Trump, any opinions at all on the text? No one that voted for Rauner that wants to tell us how they think he's doing? Well, the reason I ask about Governor Rauner is because people were saying that he's a good businessman, he's a billionaire, he knows how to run a business. And the concern I have about that, so the reason I want to know is, you know, do you think he's doing a good job now? We've actually accumulated more debt because he's holding the line at breaking unions, whether it's through arbitrations and not wanting to withdraw some of those rights, making this a right to work state, workman's comp, which was actually legislation that was adjusted several years ago and has not been enforced across the board. So these are reforms that he has put forward that have to be agreed to by the Democrats in order for him to propose a budget. So we haven't gotten anywhere in a year. So I'm wondering, this is the exact same situation that I'm looking at when it comes to Donald Trump. People are saying, I'm frustrated. I don't like the way my government's being run now. I want this guy. He's not a lifelong politician. He's a great businessman. He can run our country. But it's not working in Illinois.
And, right. And hindsight's going to be 2020 is what you're saying.
But,
From the 779, we get a text, and this is as eloquent as we need tonight. He sucks.
You're right.
Okay, so speaking of hindsight, right? So, you know, when we make a mistake, do we also act accordingly afterwards? Do we go, oh, well, that was not a good choice? You know, I think that George Bush was reelected partly because we were in the middle of a battle. You don't change. I told my husband, I'm like, you don't change a general in the middle of a battle. This is the guy that has taken us here. This is where we are globally. This is the guy we stick with. It's not going to be John Kerry. It's going to be George Bush.
You know how when you start a new job, there's like that 90-day test period? We should do that with politicians and stuff. We should give them like a month, 2 months.
But in hindsight, do people still think that George Bush was the right choice for 8 years? I don't know. That's a different question as far as reelecting him. I think that that was actually the right way to go. I think that you needed to. But, you know, I don't know that hindsight ever makes us make different choices. You know, will people, you know, regardless of which office it is that you've elected somebody, because we fight so hard beforehand and we dig in and we have these opinions and we call each other names. Do we ever admit we made a mistake?
We have too much pride.
I've said on the show several times, I voted for Blagojevich both times. Huge mistake. Huge. But I don't think there was anybody who was running opposed that was any better. I don't think they would have been that bad, but I think that voting for Blagojevich and letting him get to that high of an office was a huge mistake. Tom, what are your thoughts on Trump?
This is Tom.
I know.
Hi. Oh, okay.
I've addressed you that way.
That's why.
Yes. Hello, Tom.
My thoughts are this.
Yes.
So far, we've done nothing but elected career politicians. Mm-hmm. That's what we've done for the past how many years?
Right.
We are nothing but in a hole at this point. Rauner?
Yes, Rauner. You voted for Rauner?
No, I did not.
Okay.
But Rauner has a sense, a business sense. All he's trying to do is fix the corruption and all the mishandlings of our business. And there's such a mess that he's at the point where he almost can't straighten it out.
Okay.
So the problem, you know, it's just everything is so corrupt. Everything is so backwards.
That's actually another question I had. So we've elected Governor Rauner. You have not voted for him. I did not vote for him. So a lot of people thought, well, here's a businessman. When he comes into office, he can turn the state around. He knows how to, you know, fix a spreadsheet. So, you know, when we say that he hasn't done the job that we asked him to do, You know, like I mentioned a moment ago, are we going to say, oh, this was a mistake? But, you know, government isn't a business. He's not there to, you know, to make a profit. Businesses are to make a profit. He's not working. You know, we spend money as a government. That's our job.
I understand your point 100%. However, government does not care what they spend or how they spend it.
Right.
So all it's doing is putting us behind the eight ball.
And making it worse.
Unless they just, change has to come.
So here's my question. Do we in hindsight say, you know, if someone comes into office, it was already really bad. There was nothing they could do. It's not his fault. Because that seems to be what everyone's saying about Governor Rauner. It's not his fault. Madigan screwed it up, and Cullerton's been there for a long time. It's been 30 years. So then what's the point of having somebody who isn't able to work with that either?
Yeah, well,
it's somebody else's fault. If it's 30 years of it's too much of a mess.
Right, and also if it's the career politicians that are at fault here, and so we need change of some kind, does it matter what the change is? Are you just voting for Trump because he's different but not necessarily well-equipped for the job? Do we need someone
that's
going to be actually good at stuff, or just whoever?
Well, I'd like to nominate Patty.
She has been nominated before.
What we have been doing for the past how many years,
right,
is not working.
Right.
Let's face it, it's just not working.
Okay.
So all we can do at this point, in my opinion, is to try something different. It's only a four-year term.
Exactly. You know? But with Illinois as the example, is that it's only a four-year term. We're 1 year in, right? And so the big part of the budget that we've dug a hole, it was $4 billion last year. A big chunk of that really came in 2006 and 2007 with Madigan and Blagojevich arriving at an agreement to fund Medicaid, to expand that, and to short the pensions by over $1 billion, right, for 2 years. So that started, that was a $2 billion snowball that has now come into this $4 billion. But with Governor Rauner in 1 year, that has actually escalated $2 billion in just 1 year because of this impasse. Because all the spending, all the money going out the door isn't regulated and isn't monitored the way it should be, because it's all by lawsuits, because we tried something different.
Well, the career politicians don't want to play ball with him, because once they start getting things under control, their game is over.
Right. So
they don't have any. I'll bet you if Trump gets elected, half of the senators that have been around for 30 years and the congressmen that have been around, all these old-time politicians are all going to quit.
But,
because their game is going to be over.
I don't know if that's a good...
They're going to leave.
Well, why? That hasn't happened in the legislature of Illinois.
That has not happened before. And Tom, you know, it's a shame that the presidential race is the only one that a lot of people vote on, because there's a lot of other races where we could start trying out someone who maybe doesn't have the level of experience we want. This is the president of the United States position,
yeah,
and
maybe
we're going to give it to a guy who, hey, he says what he wants. He's, you know, he's
yes,
different.
Maybe not a lifelong career politician,
right.
Tries a Senate job.
Yeah, we could give somebody a small position in a, you know, county clerk's office or something. Let's just go there. Let's build up. Let's not jump right away. Right?
We're just speculating.
I feel ashamed to say the last time I voted for president was Ross Perot.
Ooh, interesting.
Okay.
Wow. No, that's interesting, because that was an interesting race. And so that was Clinton, George Bush Sr., and Ross Perot. And that third-party candidacy did have an impact on that election, I think, to some extent.
I liked Ross Perot, too.
A lot of people like Ross Perot. That's an interesting...
Ross Perot was a businessman.
And I believe his vice president was a military man. Wasn't he? He was actually a high-ranking officer, if I recall correctly.
And Ross Perot was a businessman, but he wasn't an arrogant...
And
I think there's a huge difference between Trump and Ross Perot, obviously.
He was pretty arrogant.
He was out of line, isn't he?
Perot was eccentric, I would say.
He was eccentric.
Let me tell you something. I'm sorry. Now I'm just doing.
As opposed to the
The blustering and the meanness. I mean, Tom,
it seems like a student council election, a high school student council election.
Interesting.
Or a fraternity election. Like, everybody is mean and, well, you said that. I didn't say that.
So out of all the options that we have,
you're right.
Where would you find the most sense and the most loyalty and the most honesty? In what candidate would you find that you truly believe? This person is looking out for the United States.
I truly believe that the people that are looking out for the United States are the people that aren't really in the, what I call infighting, the student council high school stuff.
Tom brings up a good point. Tom brings up a good point, and this has been my point the entire time. I got nobody. I don't like anybody that's running. I don't like a single one of them. But it ain't going to be Trump.
Well, it's the lesser of the evils.
I like Kasich. If I was going to go on the GOP side, I would say Kasich would be probably closer to the top of my list. On the other side, I would probably and my son hates this. Probably Bernie Sanders.
I like Bernie Sanders too. Yeah.
But so those were my two.
He's the lesser of the evils, I think.
Those are the two that I would see. You know, with experience, with what they aspire to, at least what they're telling us. I don't know how Bernie Sanders would pay for most of that stuff. And
I agree.
By the way, Kasich just lost me altogether with defunding Planned Parenthood and cutting off federal funding in the state of Ohio. So that's a foregone conclusion for me. So I wouldn't, and he doesn't have a chance. But sorry, go ahead, Tom.
It seems as though at this stage we have no other option
than Trump. Let's keep the lines of communication open there, Tom.
It's a 4-year term. It's a 4-year term.
There's a lot of damage that can be done in 4 years.
Let me do this. Tom, let me just, and you know that I've been going to Springfield, and I've had friends tell me this, that it's, you know, Governor Rauner's just there for 4 years. Tom, there are people who are suffering significantly, and I know that it seems like for most people, well, I can hold on for 4 years. There are senior citizens, there are veterans, there are the disabled who cannot hold on, and losing hope is a very precarious situation to be in. And I don't think that we can take this lightly. I know when people say it's just 4 years, many more lives will be lost in ways that we will never know about quietly. And there will be public ways. Look, there was a mom who just threw her autistic son off a bridge, and she'll be sentenced to a life sentence, right, because she already pleaded guilty. And it's situations like that all over the country. You'll find people who either hurt themselves or hurt the people in their lives because programs were cut off from them. There's a family who have a child in Wisconsin. He will be sent home. They've told him that they can no longer take care of him in Wisconsin because Illinois is not paying the bill, because Illinois does not have group homes that are appropriate
young lady,
for him.
Young yes. lady, these problems have been around for years and years and years.
Tom, because I have a son with a disability, I feel this immediately. No, I feel them immediately.
So do I. My mom's 102. My sister's son has Huntington's chorea.
So when you say it's just 4 years, you know that it's so much more than that. And our men and women in uniform, when we say we're just going to go and you know, remotely drop bombs on people, it's so much more than just another 4 years.
Well, and I never have anyone that really, like, undermines the position of President of the United States. It's that you still get that title for, I don't care how many years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tom. I'm so sorry to hear about your sister and badass mom, by the way, at 102. How cool is that?
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Tough old Italian lady, I'll tell you that.
There you go. I know these problems have been around, but... Yes?
I heard on your radio station earlier in the week that 78% of the people in politics, especially the ones that have been surrounding Obama, have never held a job other than politics. 78%.
Interesting.
It's huge. It's huge.
Well, because they studied poli sci, they went into strategy, they went into that kind of area. Interesting. I had not heard that one. I will take a look at that. I have to go to the news. Tom, I thank you so much for voicing your thoughts, and always great to hear from everybody. Have a great night.
Thanks, Tom.
And again, your mom's a badass. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I am joined by Sergeant Pareka from the U.S. Marine Corps. Just showed me a lovely photo of his family. Really adorable. So cute. And what's your son's name?
Nathan.
And Nathan, and your wife is Ashley?
Ashley.
Yeah.
Yes.
Really beautiful family.
Thank you.
Cindy, your family is beautiful as well. I've known them since they were children, your kids. They're awesome. And Chris? I've never met anybody in your family. I feel like I should at some point.
I'll show you
I'm
picture.
Sure
Any pictures?
Though.
Sarah Barnhart, where are you from originally? I've asked before, I know.
North Carolina.
That's right. Does your family ever visit?
As a matter of fact, my dad is in my apartment right now.
Do you talk politics with dad?
My family doesn't really talk politics.
Mine either. Oh, wait. Oh, yes, we do. This is my family, my WGN family. Jill wanted to join the conversation. We were talking a little bit about Trump. What do you think, Jill?
Yes. Well, I work in a hospital where I draw blood, and I'd say between nine out of 10 of the rooms I go in, the people are watching all the Maury's and all the different shows with all the screaming and yelling.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they watch Trump and it's screaming and yelling, and they think, well, he's on TV, he's famous, I'll vote for him. And even if you try to talk to people about more substantive things,
right,
they want to talk about Kim and Kanye, or they want to talk, they fade off. And I'm wondering if this, like, kind of bread and circuses, you know,
right,
that they don't want to do the hard work of really understanding what's going on.
That's a really good point. They see somebody that they know and they recognize, and we're attracted to things that are familiar to us.
Well, and also when we watch shows that have a lot of anger, you know, we yell at people. We want to feel bigger, right? That's why I watch Hoarders, so I don't feel as sloppy. I have clutter, but I don't hoard. You know, so I think people watch shows like Jerry Springer and Maury Povich and go, well, at least I'm not that messed up, right? And when Trump was doing his The Apprentice, it was kind of fun to watch people trying to scramble for jobs and be mean to each other. You have a point, Jill. There are things that we are drawn to, whether it's in media. By the way, Jill, what do you think about this? And I don't, this wasn't what you called about. Many times the media is accused of being a liberal bias, but now they're saying the media is covering Trump and that's why he's winning. So I'm confused as to what the media's role is. Do you have a thought on that?
Well, I think it's easy to go to what's shiny and, mm-hmm. you know, more sexy. But what I'd like to see, I want to know more about these people. I know pretty much about Hillary because she's been around and we've seen it. But I'd like to know a little more about Bernie Sanders. I'd like to see more biographies of him.
I agree.
Tell me more about him. It's like they want to turn someone into like a little symbol, you know, like a little meme.
Right, and everybody's kind of like reduced to sound bites. And right now, even though the sound bites of Trump is reduced to, for me, I'm like, what? When he says, I love the poorly educated. I won big, huge with the poorly educated. And that resounds.
That's sad to me.
That falls hard on my ears. And for other people, they're like, yeah, it's our turn, I guess. I don't, being educated isn't, is that a bad thing? Is being educated? Sergeant, you're not, can I say that you're shaking your head that being educated is not a bad thing? It seems to be in this election. I'm not sure. Jill, I thank you so much. Do you work, what department do you nurse in? Is it like a emergent care or?
It's a big hospital on the lakefront in Milwaukee, St. Mary's, Milwaukee.
Oh.
They specialize, there's a big burn unit. We have rehab. It's quite a big place, beautiful place.
Well, Jill, you sound like the kind of nurse that I wish whenever I have to be in an emergency, that I hope it's someone like you, because so many nurses really make the big difference between, you know, a positive outcome and not.
Right.
So thank you.
You need someone caring.
Exactly. And somebody who gets it. That's all. That's what we need. And there are so many nurses that do, and so many people that don't realize that you're the one that stands in between life and death. I'm just saying, I'm not trying to get all dramatic and stuff, but I appreciate what you do.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a great night. Yeah, absolutely. So there you go. I was wondering about that because in the previous elections, there was this like the liberal elite, the intellectual elite and the liberal media. But now it's like, no, the media is covering Trump and it's their fault. So I don't know. I'm not sure what's changed. Just that you're like, it's a bright, shiny thing.
Well, and I agree. Yeah, it's bright, shiny. He's absolutely marketing to a different group of people.
Yeah,
than most presidential candidates.
I'm trying to find the numbers for Nevada, but I know that the turnout was disappointing. Yes, Craig?
No, I'm just thinking of a statistic that I think a lot of us saw today. 20% of Trump supporters do not support the freeing of the slaves. So that's always, you know, kind of nice. No Patty is faking expression. Yeah, that's a stat that came out today. 20%
do they
of
know
Trump
that,
supporters.
Do they know that slavery ended?
Yeah.
That's not a choice
anymore.
Aware of it. They don't agree with that.
That option's not on the table.
They're not really thrilled with that. So he is definitely marketing to a different group of people.
Do they want to be our slaves now?
I don't know.
Let's
check into that.
Different kind of slavery. There were also Trump supporters that showed up in their Klan robes in Nevada. I mean, like, if you're going to wear your dressy outfit, I guess that's when you do it. Just saying.
Can I also say, I just don't like how he speaks about other countries and things.
Right.
Just because when you're president, you have to talk to all these people face to face. And if they hate you, how are you going to deal with them?
Well, you have to be diplomatic.
Exactly, and I don't think he is.
No, he absolutely is not. I think he's gotten the notoriety he has, and he's gotten the popularity he has by just sort of shock value. And the leader of the free world can't be like that. You just can't.
Well, but people, not just shock value, but people say that he says the things they wish they could, which makes me very sad that they want to say those things.
Well, there's a big difference between a politician and a leader and a statesman.
Right, but it doesn't seem to make a difference to a lot of people. Let me ask you this. Who do you think I'm reading this about? My fellow citizens, the rise of this blusterous man bewilders the educated among us, conjoins opposing politicians, agonizes our international allies, threatens minorities, spits on the disabled, and touches the hearts of those who just don't know any better. Let us stop propounding how mad this all is, but instead do something. Who is that being said about? And I hate making this comparison.
Who was your son's favorite politician?
This is in reference to Hitler.
Oh.
This was said in 1929 by Lislette Hubner in Germany, ahead of the rise of Hitler.
That doesn't surprise me.
So, but I, Craig, I've said in the show, I hate making Hitler references, but the sort of madness, the blinders that are people are like, no, this is the guy who's going to be different.
I don't know what's been going on for the last couple months, but Hitler's come up a lot on the show. I don't know where that's coming from.
I find it disappointing.
I blame Trump.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah.
when you say I love the poorly educated, and people go woo.
Yeah, he likes me.
Well, you know who says that? The poorly... Woo!
But I... Right.
Nobody listens to us, and this guy is.
Why would owning that be something that you would aspire to?
I kind of feel like maybe they don't aspire to it, but whenever...
They accept it?
Well, okay, so poor people are frustrated with the wealthy and would probably... love to see the wealthy go down. So in this case,
but he is the wealthy.
But the thing is, he exemplifies.
Cindy's hitting things,
but right.
Well, really, Trump like exemplifies.
Well, no,
the
what
fat
I'm saying
cat.
Is, so then the uneducated want to see the educated go down,
right? So he seems uneducated, but wealthy.
No, is. Not that he seems uneducated, but that he is that he
speaking
is
to them.
Speaking to them,
gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Well, I don't know. Oh, here we go. So I want to see, because I am curious about this. I try to dissuade me, but I think that he can. Ray, what do you think? Can Trump win?
Patty, I don't in the end. I don't think he's electable in November. And there were some very, very interesting statistics. They were in the New York Times. They were in a political journal in the last 2 weeks.
Okay.
The 30% he's been consistently polling to win the caucus and to win the primary translates to less than 8% of the total vote expected to be cast in November, which I think it's going to definitely play into the way things work out. Is he going to be the Republican nominee? I would think almost definitely. His appeal seems to be, and I'm not using this with any sense of racism, his appeal seems to be to the angry element of the white working class.
Right. I agree.
This is a group, and again, I'm quoting some statistics. This is a group, basically, household incomes below $40,000, predominantly male. As soon as you get to college-educated households over $75,000, you start getting away from Trump. You start going much closer to Hillary, to Bernie Sanders, etc. I think the most fascinating thing, and I'm going to predate probably everybody in the studio right now, Theodore White wrote the book Making of the President 1960. The significance of that was the first time television had truly been married to the American electoral presidential process. John Kennedy was elected for a number of reasons.
Yes.
One was his masterful use of television.
Yeah, and that unfortunate debate that he and Nixon had right here in Chicago, I believe on CBS.
You're correct. They debated four times. The first one was here on McClurg Court. That's the one where Nixon had been suffering from the bad knee, mm-hmm. had elected to stay on the campaign trail, not rest, come into Chicago unrested. Kennedy had taken a portion of the day before off.
Right. He had rested. And I think that Nixon also refused makeup.
You're correct. But people,
which sounds, I mean, you can see where a guide wouldn't want to and not get it. Kennedy got the imagery. Yes.
Probably. The point I'm going to make in as few words as possible, going from there to Donald Trump, Kennedy masterful television. 4 years later, California elects a former grade B actor, George Murphy, as senator. He beat Pierre Salinger. 2 years later, they elect the fading actor Ronald Reagan as governor.
Right.
And 14 years later, Ronald Reagan is president. It only makes sense that a current contemporary genre of television, in this case reality shows, might produce somebody if they had proper resources, primarily financial. Suddenly we do have Donald Trump center stage. It is marvelous political theater to watch the specter of his potential being American president. I personally find quite frightening, because it's one thing to have attributes that can be electable at a point in time. It's another thing to suddenly be in that office,
right,
and to assume that individual has the ability to reason through crises, both domestic and foreign, in a way that would serve our country best.
So what seems to be happening right now with the folks that are turning out for Trump, they're operating on an emotional level of where's mine, or I feel disenfranchised, and then no one's listening to me. This guy speaks to what I believe in.
Patty, I agree right. with 85% of what you said.
What's another 15? Tell me.
The only 15 I would add on, with all due respect.
Oh, I feel respected. I do. Thank you.
Thank you. The only thing I would add on is, number one, Americans, and because of American exceptionalism, we believe we are the greatest country on earth. We want to hear that. We want to hear the songs. I think you made a reference to George M. Cohen a little bit before.
I did.
We want to see all the symbols. We are the greatest country on earth. We have an individual, Donald Trump, who has more money than 99.9% of the people on the planet. He has entered this campaign speaking with certainty, whether he's right or wrong. For instance, the comment about no Muslims in the United States.
Right.
Why, in the name of whomever, would you go out of your way to alienate the most populous religion on the planet, and ones that don't forget? And this is one of the reasons when George Jr. took us into Iraq and into Afghanistan. Those people don't forget. As Phil Jackson used to make the analogy, when you drop a pebble in a pond, that pond then resonates with expanding circles. And I think this is one thing we did in the Mideast. I think ultimately we have no idea what consequences we might ultimately realize from what occurred there. But we have a Donald Trump who, in a very uncertain age for most middle-class Americans, such as myself and I assume most of you, we live in a very uncertain age. This man has had license now for approximately 5 months center stage to speak with tremendous certainty. It only makes sense that there would be a segment of America, and especially, as you just used a great word, a disenfranchised segment, who would find his certainty quite compelling. That's why I think he's where he is now. I think he is a nightmare to the short and interim direction of the Republican Party. And I think his nomination would be a death sentence.
Yeah, well, I agree.
You know, Patty, real quick, I agree with 98.7% of what Ray said.
Ray, what would you say to someone like our listener Tom earlier who said, well, it's just 4 years. How bad could it get? I mean, like, let's give it a shot. Because I'm concerned about that attitude, if that's what people are thinking, too.
Patty, I think that's a marvelous question. I wish I were fully equipped to answer it. Here would be my mini answer to the whole thing. We have a tendency, much too much as Americans, to slough off things, thinking it can't happen here, it won't happen to us. We have learned from our mistakes. I am in my late 50s. I lived through the end of Vietnam. By the time Vietnam was over, our great national nightmare, as a politician famously said after we left, I never in my wildest dreams thought my generation would allow us to engage in that sort of pointless military adventurism. And then what happened in the wake of 9/11?
Right.
So it's a most fascinating year in politics. I think Hillary versus Trump would be like Ali versus Frazier in Manila.
Oh, I don't know. I see that not going well. I just think the hatred for Hillary Clinton is so deep and so severe that I don't look forward to that face-off. I just don't. I don't think it goes well for anybody, actually.
Patty, based on what you just said, may I ask you a question that is gender-centric coming from me?
Yes.
So, and please, let me preface it by saying that. What you just said about Hillary is fascinating, yet the way she handled her husband's quite public indiscretions, mm-hmm. I found not only fascinating, I found facile to a transcendent genius level. How did the woman maintain her dignity through that segment?
The way I thought of it, and I was really young. I was, you know, grade school. Let's go with grade school. No, I was younger. But the way I looked at it was a woman who saw the bigger picture, who saw that this was her, that they were each other's greatest assets. That's the way I saw that relationship, and I continue to see it. That, you know, whatever indiscretions they may have, whether it's, you know, the way she operates or his infidelities, I think that they have decided that they are the best partners for each other, whether it's emotional, professional, political, that they have decided that was the best arrangement.
And let me ask you this.
Which sounds calculating, and that's why I'm not a...
No, go ahead.
No, it just sounds... It also makes her, both of them, very calculating, which you have to be as a political figure. But go ahead. One more thing, and then we have to go to a break.
Thank you. But if she is that calculating, isn't she capable right now? This is her one time to become the first woman president. Isn't she calculating enough to anticipate almost anything Donald Trump could do in the August to November sequence?
This is the argument my husband threw at me.
I think she is, and it I is. Think she has.
There you go.
I agree.
I think it's an excellent point, and Cindy agrees with you. Ray, thank you so much. Excellent phone call, and we look forward to hearing from you again. Please.
Patty, thank you, and very continued success on all your endeavors.
I appreciate that. Thank you. I'll be at boot camp next week, so we'll see how that goes. More after this on 720, of course. Thank you, Ray. More after this.